Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, starting at the first verse of chapter 2. The word of Isaiah, the word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
People of God, let us pray together. Lord God, we ask that you would open our ears and our hearts again in this season. Help us to prepare again for your coming, to remember with wonder what it is to experience the gift of your Son. Amen. Our second lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, beginning at verse 36. Always a frustrating piece of scripture to begin Advent with, because we really want to jump right to the good part of the story. But instead, Jesus tells us about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as in the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The word Advent means coming. Advent then is a season of preparation. Traditionally, it is a time of great anticipation, a time of waiting and remembering. A time to prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ. Advent is a time to prepare for both comings of Christ. Not just the incarnation, when God put on flesh and sent the Son into the world to live among us, but we also prepare during Advent for the second coming, for Christ's return, when he promises to draw all things to himself. Advent is also a season of turning our hearts again towards God, the one who loved us enough to come and be one of us, a time of turning again to the promises of Christ. Advent is intended to be a time and a season of great joy and anticipation. We see it in the kids, don't we? We know what the anticipation and joy of Christmas is for children, but we also ought to notice it in ourselves as well, as we also prepare our hearts for the coming of Christmas. Advent is an ancient celebration. It's a time in which we celebrate and anticipate the celebration of Christmas, and we prepare for the new heaven and the new earth. There are other words that we read and sing and hear in this season. They are biblical themes of hope, peace, joy, and love. These themes run not only through Scripture, but are the names assigned to our Advent candles. They are the names that Melanie has so graciously created on these new banners that we enjoy this morning. This year, we are going to lean into and explore those themes: hope, peace, joy, and love. These words that we use all the time in our vernacular, right? We use words like love and hope all the time. But what do we mean? What do we mean when we say Advent, hope, Advent, peace, Advent, joy? So each Sunday, we're going to lean into and learn a little bit. We have about a 5-minute video each week that we're going to watch together and learn about the Greek or Hebrew words that these are, and then we'll wonder together a little bit deeper. So hope is our first Sunday. We prepare, we anticipate, and we wait. And what are we waiting for? Sometimes we're simply waiting for the celebrations of Christmas. We're waiting for the gathering of family, presents, and food. Some are waiting for the holidays to just be over with because they are so much work and so hard. Sometimes because they are difficult or painful. Some are waiting for relationships to be renewed, for new opportunity, or maybe for healing. As God's people, we know the promises of the season are greater than these kinds of hope, because we, as God's people, hope for God. We wait with anticipation for the promises that God gives us to be fulfilled. We wait for God to act as promised. For the ways that God has been present and faithful in the past, we wait and hope, yakal, for what we cannot yet see, and we believe that it is coming, even though we can't see it. We kava, we anticipate and wait with great expectation until those promises are fulfilled. The prophet Isaiah proclaims this wonderful vision for what the world is going to be like, that God is not just for us, but that God is for all people, that the nations will be set on an equal footing and will all seek God's face. This vision is a broadening and an expanding of the traditional teachings of the Old Testament to suggest that salvation is for all of God's people would have challenged the people of Israel deeply, because they were pretty sure that they were not only the chosen nation of Israel, the chosen people of God, but the only people of God. Before Isaiah, those who were of Israel understood themselves to be particularly blessed by God. They were God's chosen ones. After all, Abraham was their ancestor, and their line was traced back to the promises of God. But in Isaiah, God speaks a different word. God promises a new thing. God chooses a new way to show up in this world. God is choosing to call all nations to the mountain of God. God is going to cross the border between human and divine, calling all people into God's presence. God's people are called then to cross the barrier, the borders that divide and separate them. God says that no longer do Jew or Gentile matter, Democrat or Republican, black or white, Christian or non-rural or urban, that the borders that we use to divide ourselves are not the things that God chooses for us. Instead, we are all invited to the table where God is host, where we are welcome to celebrate on the mountain of God. The prophet Isaiah offers a vision for the days to come someday when all nations will seek and long for and pursue the presence of God. The word of God, Isaiah says, will stream forth from the mountain, and God will judge between the nations. Swords will get beaten into plows. In other words, we don't fight anymore. Spears will be pruning hooks because we will not need war any longer. In the someday, when God's reign is established on the earth. And all of this sounds great, doesn't it? We love these visions of Isaiah. Isaiah is one of the most beloved prophets in all of Israel. Why? Because he so vividly describes what we hope for, that we will not learn war anymore. We know, however, that we cannot make this happen. We have been trying, haven't we? At least we say we have. We know that we cannot bring about this vision on our own. Human beings have been trying to sign treaties and cease war for generation upon generation, and it simply devolves back into conflict over and over again. And so we know that we can't do it alone. We know that we need God to act and to do what we cannot. And so we wait and we hope and we anticipate for these promises that sometimes feel too good to be true, and yet we believe will be fulfilled. We have a living hope in the person of Christ, the one who has been, the one who is, and the one who will be. And so we live in an in-between kind of time, don't we? Jesus has already come, and we're still waiting for him to return and do what we believe that he's going to do and set things right. And Jesus tells us that we have responsibilities in this in-between time. Our responsibility is not to worry so much about who's in and who's out, or when it's going to happen, but whether or not we are ready. Whether or not we personally are ready for it when it comes. Because about that day and that hour, Jesus says, nobody knows, not even the Son, but only God the Father. And so because no one knows, our job is to be ready. Our job is to be prepared. Jesus tells us that we should be worried less about the details and more about the state of our hearts. That we should worry less about how the kingdom is going to come or when the kingdom will come. That we should spend our time and our energy focused on whether or not our hearts and our lives and the people around us are ready for the day that that hope is fulfilled. Jesus says that our job is to keep crossing boundaries, to keep going to the places where Jesus himself would have gone, to the people where Jesus would have been, telling the stories, sharing the words, giving the good news to others, to find those that Jesus would have sought, and to go to them. You and I live in this in-between time. We live in the already and the not yet of the kingdom of God. The promises are real. Jesus himself crossed the boundary between God and humanity when he came among us as an innocent child, completely dependent on us. Isaiah's vision for the world to come is someday, and yet it's not here, and we're well aware of that too. God has come among us. Jesus came among us, and yet there is so much more to the promise than just the person of Jesus. And so we wait with hope. We long for the day when the nations will stream to God, don't we? We long for the day when the knowledge of God fills the earth and war is not learned anymore. We long for a day that the earth will be full of the knowledge of our God. We know that Christ has already come. We celebrate and we anticipate his coming again. This is a living hope. It cannot be grasped or pointed to directly. Paul says that's how we know it's hope, because we don't hope for things we can see, because we can see them. It is a living hope that is not abstract. It's located in the person of Jesus. This hope is a reminder that God can still surprise us, that God can still make all things new. In this we yakal, we hope, with kava, anticipation. We wait with anticipation. We anticipate with great expectation that Christ will not just come as the baby in the manger, but will come and set the table for us in the kingdom that is to come. Let's pray. Lord God, as we enter this season of Advent, give us new hope in you. Remind us again of the promises that we wait for, that your coming is not just about the baby in the manger, but that your coming is about a healing of the nations. And so help us to be a people who proclaim your coming, even as we anticipate and wait for that day. Amen.